I trust if there's never been a time in your life when you've accepted Christ, that today will be that day. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. I'm not going to re-preach our brother's Sunday school lesson. Although, if I did, it would be worth it because that was good. And I hope I'm not stealing too much of your thunder by today's lesson. If you missed Sunday school this morning, I know there's different classes, buddy. You missed a treat. That was a blessing. So thank you for your study there, brother. Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story. No doubt you have read it before, heard it before, heard many messages upon it. You know, one of the things I love about Scripture is the more you dive into it, the more you find there is there. You never exhaust the supply of Scripture, of God's Word. And we're going to be looking today at one of the audiences that very first Christmas. If you found Luke chapter 2, would you say amen? If you're still looking for it, say, oh me. The amens have it. For sake of context, we'll read the first 7 verses, although our message will really begin in verse 8. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." The past 2 months I got to spend in Ecuador as a kind of an extended mission trip over there. I'll tell you more about the story. My fiance is over there, and we're excited about God's will in the future, waiting on a visa at this point. But I was in a bus terminal in Quito, the capital, for 3 hours. Why? Because it was voting weekend, and everyone in Ecuador is required to vote. You get penalized if you don't vote. Can you imagine if they did that in America, you know, required to vote? Oh, that would be interesting. But everyone's required to vote there, and you have to go back to your hometown. I wish I'd have known it before I gotten in that bus terminal. But I was waiting for 3 hours because the line to go back on the bus that I needed was incredibly long, people getting back to their hometown. Hopefully Joseph and Mary didn't have that traffic. Verse number 5. The Bible says, "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn." And verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Today, I'd like to bring you a simple message entitled, "Lessons from a Christmas Shepherd." Lessons from a Christmas Shepherd. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to open your word. I thank you for the blessing that we had in Sunday school and just in the early part of this service, singing together songs about your birth. And though we know today that we serve a risen Savior, and you're in the world today, we pray that you would get our minds upon you, that you put aside the distractions of this world, and that we would focus upon you as your word is open this morning, even the short time remaining. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It's interesting, in verse number 8, it says that we're in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field. Why was a shepherd the first one that night outside of Joseph and Mary, perhaps the innkeeper, although I would doubt it, seeing if he refused them, he said, go back to the, you know, stable or whatnot. Why was it shepherds that were the first people to hear of the birth of Christ? You know, the Bible says in Genesis that shepherds were an abomination unto the Egyptians. I mean, they were considered the lowliest. You know, I remember when Samuel, you know, goes to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. He says, show me your sons. And they show him all the sons except one. He says, are there any more? Oh, well, there's one more. There's David, but he's out with the sheep. Almost forgotten, despised. And yet shepherds were the first that night to hear of the birth of Jesus Christ. The first point I have, just a simple message today, is this. Number one, you have significance. You have significance. You may have come here today and there's more month at the end of the money. You know, when you're looking at what you can get for other people for Christmas, you know, I'm so poor, I can't even pay attention. You know, you're like, yeah, I'll have to give you another year subscription to my friendship. You know, something like that is what you're thinking. You know, maybe you come in here and you say, I don't have a lot to do. I don't have a lot, you know, to put under the tree or to give to others. I just don't have a lot of means. Maybe you're here and you're blessed. You have a lot of means. Maybe you're here today and you're poor of health. Maybe you're here today and you're a little older. You say, well, I'm going to let the younger folks serve, you know, and I'll just come for the services. Can I tell you this? No matter what your age, no matter how much money you have in the bank, no matter what your situation is, you have significance to a God in heaven. He cares about you. He knows what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in these shepherds' lives. Perhaps some of them are younger, some of them are older. But none of them had this esteemed position. Oh, wow, so-and-so. No, they're just shepherds. But to God, he sees them as people who have a soul, who one day are going to live forever in either heaven or hell. And everyone has significance because they're made in the image of God. He came, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's everyone. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, He died for you. You have significance to Him. You're so significant that God the Father said, you know what? You're worth sending my Son, my only begotten Son, to be born in a humble stable, to live a perfect life among sinful men, and to die a criminal's death. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. You have significance this morning, my friend. And you say, well, I'm a little older, you know, do I really have that much significance? God cares about everyone, no matter what their age. There's something for you to do. You can meet people that I'll never meet to share the story of Jesus Christ. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But you have significance. They were in the same country, shepherds, verse 8, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Sheep are dumb. They have to be watched like 24/7, you know. And I think that's why, you know, the scripture refers to us sometimes as sheep, right? You know, because I realize that more and more that I'm finite. I need God's help. I will always be weak, but He will always be strong. The shepherds there are watching over their sheep. They're abiding in the field. Then verse number 9, and lo, the angel Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Well, I would be too. You know, you're out there, you know, just, you know, oh, there's Mo, you know, there's Larry, there's Curly, there's Extra Curly, yeah, you know, all the different sheep that you have, you know. And then all of a sudden, this beam of light captures the sky. We're going to see in a little bit the multitude of the heavenly hosts. I would be afraid too, you know. That's why the very first words of most of the angels are verse number 10. The angel said to them, fear not. No kidding. Okay. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That word good tidings in other places, it's translated preach the gospel. It's evangelizo, so it is the good news that Jesus Christ has come. Verse number 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a, what's the next word, church?
Savior.
A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Number one, you have significance. Number two, you have a Savior. You have a Savior. You know, it is easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas. You know, how many still need to shop? You still need to shop for family, get some Christmas. Yeah, I'm there too. I'm usually waiting until December 24th, you know, to get my Christmas list. No, I'm just kidding. Well, actually, sometimes. Okay. You know, it's easy to get lost in the hustle and bustle and finding the best deals. You know, looking at the Sears catalog that you can't buy anything from, but you look at it, you know. And just, you know, all the different. Now it's online shopping, right? You know, who goes Black Friday shopping? You know, it's all online. It's Cyber Monday, Cyber Weekend, Cyber Week, Cyber Month. I don't know what it is. It's Cyber Year now. But it's just, you know, finding all the deals. And I love the decorations. There's certainly nothing wrong with decorating. for Christmas, and I love the festivity, the colors, and so forth. But we must not forget what Christmas is all about. Amen. Were it not for Christ, there would be no Christmas. Were it not for Christmas, there would be no cross. And were it not for the cross, there would be no heaven for you and for me. Amen. So I'm so thankful that we do have a Savior. Why do we have a Savior? Because we have sin. Because we do things that we shouldn't. You know, how many of you are parents here today? Yeah, your parents. You didn't have to teach your children how to sin, right? How to lie. You know, some of you, he rolled your eyes as soon as I said that. You know it. You don't have to teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to have a bad attitude. You need to take something from their soul. No, that's just part of their nature. We have the sin nature before we accept Christ, right? You know, we're sinners by nature and by choice. It's because we have sin, because we disobey God's law, we do things we shouldn't, and we don't do things that we should, that Christ needed to come. Only He could be the sacrifice for you and me. Only He could be the Savior to save us from our sin, because He knew no sin. If He had sin of His own, when He died on the cross, He died for His own. But He didn't have any sin. He died for yours. And He died for mine. We must remember, Grace Bible Church, that we have a Savior. So when you're out and about, maybe you're at the workplace and something discouraging happens, remember, you have a Savior who cares about you, who's willing to give you His peace if you focus on Him instead of your problems. When you go out and you know and something doesn't happen the way that you thought it would, remember, you have a Savior who works all things together for good, who knows all about your situation. And if you'll surrender it to Him, if you'll submit it to Him, He'll bring it about for your good and for His glory. You have a Savior. Verse number 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know, I think about the first part of that verse. It struck me even, you know, in doing these Christmas concerts, that I am to live every day for glory to God. When I sing, when I play, it ought to be for the glory of God. When I'm out and about Monday through Saturday, it ought to be about the glory of God. When I am by myself and no one else sees me but God in heaven, I ought to live for the glory of God. Are you living for the glory of God today? I trust that you are. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Think about it. There was tranquility. There was peace in heaven. And now the Prince of Peace has come to earth. He says, good will toward men. God is pleased to bless men with His way towards peace, with the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse number 15, "It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Okay, so what do they know to look for? Well, they know to look for a baby, right? You know, okay. So do they go to the hospitals? I don't know. They Baptist Hospital of Bethlehem, Episcopal Hospital of Bethlehem, you know, Pentecostal. I don't know. They go to all of them. No, He's not in the hospital. Why? Because of the other two things. They know He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, just little strips of cloth, then lying in a manger, a feeding trough. Why would Mary lay her firstborn child in a feeding trough? I mean, what was in there before? Perhaps the same kind of, you know, pig slop that the prodigal son was surviving off of in his darkest days. Perhaps it was just corn, just straw. I don't know. She had to push it aside. Joseph did, I'm sure, to help her. And that's where her firstborn son was laid. Why? Because that was the best that she had. So they're on the lookout. Verse number 16, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You know, it's interesting, and you know, in studying for this and reading, you know, there's one commentator, he made a point when they come in here that there's no light emanating from the mother. There's no halo around Jesus' head, certainly none around Mary or Joseph's head. What do they see here? They see a little baby, does not show any marks that would distinguish him from any other infant. Isaiah 53 speaks to that. And yet this little baby we see lying here is the second person of the Trinity. He himself has been God forever. This baby is the God who's taken on human flesh, the Son of God. And just like he came the first time, our Savior is coming again. 1 Peter 5 verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." When he came the first time, he was born as a babe in the manger. But when he's coming again the second time, he is coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Verse number 17, "And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." What, angels, a host, praising God, virgin-born baby? "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as was told unto them." There's a lot of things we could talk about today. But the third thing I'd like to bring to your attention is simply this. Number one, you have significance. And that's found in your identity in Christ. Number two, you have a Savior. He is ever with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He came to save you from your sin. If you don't know Him as your Savior, you can know Him today. And He ever liveth to make intercession for those that believe. But thirdly is this, you have a story. You have a story to tell. What did the shepherds tell others? You know, did they give them out of their Bible college degree? You know,
this is what I studied in, you know, soteriology 101. And this is what, you know, Professor, you know, Dreischnott said in his class on ecclesiology.
No, they didn't have that to share, right? They didn't have some pedigree. They didn't have some, you know, vast intellectual wisdom. No. They simply shared what they had seen and heard. My friend, you don't have to wait till you go to Bible college to share the gospel. Because to simply share the gospel, you tell someone what Christ has done for you and what Christ has done for them. You know, I think I've shared my testimony here before, but it's not very glamorous. I was saved at the age of 8. I say it's not very glamorous. I remember hearing other testimonies that I was saved out of a life of sin. And praise the Lord if you're saved out of a life of sin. Praise the Lord if you're saved from a life of sin. And every testimony is a testimony of God's amazing grace. You have a story to tell others what Christ has done for you. There's people that maybe you'll meet this Christmas time that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a family member. You know, we all have a family of some kind of another. And most of my immediate family is saved. All my immediate family is saved. Praise the Lord. I know there's some distant relatives as well who have not accepted Christ. And they need Him. They need to hear the story, even from me. There's friends that you have that you can share the good news of Christ with. People in some kind of organization that perhaps you're in, or perhaps someone in your neighborhood, perhaps someone that you work with. You know, maybe you go golfing with. There's people that need to hear about Jesus Christ, and you can tell them. The shepherds didn't have a lot to say, "Hey, look at me, look at this." But they simply said, "Look at Christ. Come see the babe that was born in Bethlehem." You have a story. I'll end with a poem, and it really speaks about the Christ who not only was he seen of the shepherds, but He is the Good Shepherd. John 10, "The Good Shepherd that giveth His life for the sheep." It's entitled Poor Little Black Sheep by Ethel Brazelton. Poor little black sheep that strayed away, done lost in the wind and the rain. And the shepherd, he say, "Oh, hireling, go find my sheep again." And the hireling frowns, "Oh, shepherd, that sheep is black and bad." But the shepherd, he smiled like the little black sheep was the onlyest lamb he had, was the onlyest lamb he had. And he say, "Oh, hireling, hasten, for the wind and the rain am cold. And that little black sheep am lonesome out there so far from the fold." And the hireling frowned, "Oh, shepherd, that sheep is old and gray." But the shepherd, he smiled like the little black sheep was fair as the break of day, was fair as the break of day. And he say, "Oh, hireling, hasten, lo, here's the 99. But they're way off from the sheepfold is that little black sheep of mine." And the hireling frowned, "Oh, shepherd, the rest of the sheep is here." But the shepherd, he smiled like the little black sheep, he hold it the most dear. He hold it the most dear. And the shepherd go out in the darkness where the night was cold and bleak. And that little black sheep, he find it. And he lay it against his cheek. And the hireling frowned, "Oh, shepherd, don't bring that sheep to me." But the shepherd, he smiled and he hold it close. And that little black sheep is me. And that little black sheep is me. Amen. My friend, as we come to this Christmas, let's remember the Christ of Christmas. He is the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Father, thank you for Lord, the opportunity to open your word today. Thank you for how you have blessed with safety to come down here. Thank you for their kind attention even this morning. I pray that in remaining moments that you be with Pastor as he leads. And Lord, whatever the need is in our hearts, I pray that we would realize today that we're significant in your eyes. We would not be discouraged by what's going on in the world, but we would keep our focus upon you, who is our Savior. Pray if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice who does not know you as their Savior, they would come to know you even today before they leave the doors of this church. And I pray you give us the courage and the boldness to tell our family, our friends, and those we meet, even this Christmas season, simply by giving a gospel track even, saying Merry Christmas, Lord, to give the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for what you're going to do here at Grace Bible Church. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.